Hello, I'm Ruth Morton, an IT Pro Advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast, a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/IT podcast for supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcast episodes. Unified communication is changing the technology landscape. For the first time, we're experiencing a shift in the way that the telecommunication staff interacts with the IT staff. I mean, historically, these worlds were split in two. The telecommunications manager was there to manage the PSTN network, and a separate IT staff was there to manage the applications running on the PCs. IT managers are now at a major crossroad. How do they evolve their technology infrastructure with two fundamentally different schools of thought at play? Where do IT pros make their technology investments, the network or the software? Please join me in welcoming our panel of experts in the studio today. We have Vicky Maines from CNIB, Tony Rubchinski from Nortel, and Aaron Ellefson from Microsoft Canada. Today, we will be discussing the opportunities for software-powered telecom solutions, the Nortel-Microsoft Innovative Communications Alliance, and how CNIB is using unified communications technology to increase collaboration and productivity. So welcome, everyone.
Yeah, hi. Nice to be here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Now, before we get started, how about we just go around and have everyone introduce themselves and tell a little bit about your organization and your role in that organization. And Aaron, why don't we start with you?
Sure, Ruth. My name is Aaron Ellefson, and I'm a Senior Unified Communications and Collaboration Product Manager at Microsoft Canada, which means that I sort of manage the entire ecosystem around our unified communications and collaboration products, which is, of course, a very exciting thing to be doing right now. And I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Great. And Vicky?
Hi, I'm Vicky Maines, and I'm the Director of IS Systems Operations for CNIB. And I've been with CNIB in various roles, in various capacities, for the past 20 years.
Great.
Okay, my name is Tony Rubchinski. I'm an evangelist, actually, at Nortel in the enterprise side of the business. I've been in the industry for some 35 years. I've been involved in most of the major launches that Nortel has made. I've also write a column every month in Internet Telephony magazine. And so it's a real pleasure here to be here with CNIB. Of course, nothing like having a customer, and of course, with Microsoft Canada.
Great. Thank you. I'm going to start with a great big question. How would you define unified communications? And maybe we'll start with Aaron.
Sure. Well, we'll start with the simple definition, or the simple answer to that question is really for an end user, unified communications is all about bringing together voice conversations, email, instant messaging, and video, and even conferencing with the power of kind of a unified platform and a unified way of doing that. And what really anchors that for an end user is having basically a dashboard called Office Communicator that actually identifies for us, you know, where people are at any given time. We can always see through integration with Exchange what people's presence is, and so whether or not they're available or in a meeting, so we can contact everybody and get them on the first try instead of trying in several different places. I think the more complicated answer, unified communications is a term that's thrown around in the industry a great deal, and it tends to mean a lot of different things to different people. For Microsoft, unified communications is really defined by kind of four pillars. For us, it's really about streamlining, like I've just mentioned, the end user experience. Also streamlining and making more efficient our customers' infrastructure, ensuring that while we do that, we have built-in protection and security and compliance. And probably finally, and the part that's maybe most visionary about this, is ensuring that unified communications gives customers future-ready platforms, because software in its very nature is evolutionary and allows people to evolve their technology over time. And so that's sort of the key pillars for Microsoft's definition of unified communications.
Great.
Well, so certainly one of the things from a Nortel perspective is that we actually buy into the Microsoft vision. So, in fact, the shared vision is really what it's all about. Let me give you my spin. People love to talk. They just don't like voicemail tag, right? They love email, but they just don't like spam and being copied on virtually every email there is, right? They love video, but they don't like the complexity that often comes along with video. And it's certainly not just unified messaging, though that's certainly an element. So unified communication is certainly the unification of that experience that Aaron stressed so much in her comment. And it's eliminating these communication silos that today exist. It's certainly built around IM and presence. And I think more generally, that's going to be sort of the dial tone of the 21st century, with an additional dimension, which is that you can certainly identify, include context or even location as part of that presence environment. Where are you or what you're doing? So, in fact, in New York City, Steve Ballmer in his Inevitable Style says that you see as everything and it's nothing, but when you see it, then you get it. And which is why, you know, in our joint solutions, we have set up over 100 demonstration centers, including most of Microsoft Technology Centers. And we've also set up collaboration centers where we actually work together with the customer, jointly with Microsoft, to actually understand the customer's requirement and make UC fit into that environment.
So how is the convergence of voice and data changing the way that we work?
That's a great question. Obviously, there's two ways to really think about communications. We have asynchronous communication and synchronous communication. And so 20 years ago or 25 years ago with the advent of email, it was very exciting to think about this prospect of having asynchronous communication in our world, where we could communicate when it was sort of convenient for us and we could have all this email in our inbox that we would get to when the time was appropriate. But sort of something interesting happened there, and not surprisingly, is that we had all this evolution in asynchronous communications technologies and very little evolution around synchronous communication. So the telephone itself hasn't really changed that much in 20 to 25 years. So what that means for the average end user in today's environment is that, you know, by default, we do everything textually. We always communicate with words, even when perhaps words and textual exchanges aren't appropriate given the context of the situation. And so what this really means is by making it easy to communicate with people with voice, by making it intuitive and something you can do with just a simple click, people will begin to be a lot more efficient by having the right conversations with the right mediums using voice. And we think that'll obviously have some real efficiency advantages to the average kind of end user. But it also just alleviates this pain and even some of the softer challenges around people misinterpreting what happens with language. And so we think that this is a real great opportunity to finally bring voice back into organizations today.
What do you think, Tony?
Well, I'm not sure voice has actually ever left the organization, but I would I think something you said, Ruth, at the beginning in the introduction about the telecom industry and the maybe the application industry or software industry. And I think that's probably more fundamental in terms of impacting how work is being done and the general impacts on business. So we think of it in the context of convergence of the IT industry and the telecom industry in general. And when we say the IT industry, I mean, that includes a desktop environment, includes application Active Directory, Exchange, Office, SharePoint, and all those things, and certainly in a Microsoft environment. So we see this IT convergence is, in fact, inevitable. It's going to fundamentally dramatically change, and in fact allow companies and businesses and government agencies and nonprofit agencies to adapt better in this competitive world, because we're all competing for resources one way or the other, and is it going to do that much better? Certainly that was one of the reasons why we saw this transformation coming, and in fact one of the reasons when we announced the Innovative Communication Alliance was around this transformation. A key element of this transformation, in fact, is that unified communications in our joint vision is not just about unifying the user experience, but also around unifying the infrastructure around software. That's going to be fundamentally increase the flexibility of these systems and allow you to do the things you really want to do.
Actually, Tony, if I could just interrupt you for a second, can we back up and just give us an idea of what the Nortel Microsoft Innovation Communications Alliance is all about?
Sure, we can do that. So I mentioned we saw IT convergence coming, and then we had a choice, and this was with some strategic thinking we did internally, is we could either remain a legacy telecom supplier and watch Microsoft get into our space, so to speak, help transform the industry, and probably interoperate them, because after all, Nortel interoperates with all our competitors in a PBX context. Or we could maybe take some risks and take some chances and really say, well, if this is where we see the industry going, then rather let's join Microsoft and do that right up front towards the software environment, not embed the intelligence into the network, but really treat everything as applications and everything that brings benefits for our customers. So certainly that was pivotal. There were three components to the Innovative Communication Alliance that we announced. One is a technology one. So we had cross-licensing of technology. We have badged people in Redmond with full access to the Microsoft campus, and there's only a couple of other vendors like Intel that actually have that privilege. And together we've defined a multi-year roadmap in terms of how we can add value to Office Communication Server 2007 and future waves of that product. And we've launched various capabilities, including integrating our IP telephony PBX with all its clients and so on into LCS and now OCS coming later on this year, integrating our contact centers, integrating our multimedia conferencing capabilities. And the third, second component is all around go-to-market. And so the go-to-market says, you know, we're actually going to be at each of the roadshows as we launch Office Communication Server 5000, 50 countries around the world. And so we're going to be there as a premium sponsor and a platinum sponsor and involved in that. Today we announced 300 wins jointly. So the momentum is there. That includes 900,000 licenses that are supported through these wins. And then the third area is around system integration. So in some cases, as CNIB's experience was fairly straightforward in terms of upgrading to Exchange Unified Messaging, but if you're looking at fairly complex systems with many PBXs, numbering plans, and maybe contact centers and so on, there's a level of integration that can really help the customer or help our partner help the customer. And that includes, of course, the data network underneath it as well.
So Vic, maybe you can tell us what unified communications means for IT professionals and for information workers.
For our IT staff at CNIB, unified communications is made it easier and more seamless for us to manage. Like many IT organizations, we were kind of handed the whole voice telecommunications piece about 3 years ago. It wasn't really at our own initiative that we were looking for it, but it was one more thing that we took on and we managed it. But in moving to the Exchange 2007 Unified Messaging, where our voicemail is now part of the email system, just another piece of software running on the same servers as the Exchange is running on, it's become much more familiar territory to us. And it's not a totally separate system that we manage in a different way. So much more seamless for the staff. And I think probably to some degree, they're more comfortable with it because it's something they're more familiar with.
Yeah, can you tell us a bit more about CNIB and why you decided to use a unified communications solution?
As a charity, we had budgeted to replace our servers this year anyways, and we saw an early demonstration of Exchange 2007 with unified messaging, and as soon as we saw it, we knew that it would be not only a huge productivity gain across the board for our staff, but particularly in terms of the accessibility for our staff with vision loss, it would make day-to-day tasks a lot more easier and more manageable for them. So we knew right away we wanted to be one of the early adopters and became involved in the program.
Okay. What's the user experience like?
The user experience has been really, truly amazing. I think it's the easiest adaptation or adoption by our users that we've ever been through. Basically, we started with a small pilot group, and we converted them overnight, sent them a PIN number and some documentation. They never read the documentation. They just started using the system.
Do users ever read the documentation?
Not really, no. You know, it's a good system when they don't have to read the documentation.
This
though,
is true.
When you don't get a ton of calls to the service desk, because we manage that as well. It was a very seamless transition. Users have found it to be really beneficial. They either find it beneficial right from the very first minute they use it. Certainly within 24 hours, as soon as they use it from out of office or if they're traveling or even from home the next day, it's kind of like, wow, this is amazing. So yeah, it's been great.
And let's talk a bit about some of the specific benefits to your organization, because you have some unique needs and challenges within your organization.
Right. Whenever we look at software, we always have to look at it from the point of view of accessibility, because a large number of our staff are experiencing vision loss of some form or another. And for us, this was a solution that out of the box, we didn't have to do anything or modify anything, but it worked absolutely perfectly for all of our staff, for all of our users, and actually for our staff who do use speech output technology, our blind staff. It meant that the calendar, which was something that was, I mean, it could be done, but it was very difficult to manage before, now became as easy to use as it is for a sighted person to use. And by controlling it by voice, a much more natural method of managing something that complex. So for us, the productivity gains across the board have been huge. But for somebody who is blind or low vision and uses a speech output technology, it's probably double. It's just made it more integrated and seamless, and it's the actual application is designed to work that way. So we didn't have to make any changes. We just installed it and ran it.
Okay. And I understand, too, that your president is a big fan. What was his reaction throughout this whole process?
He's a huge fan. You know, he's very astute as a CEO. Didn't really need to say anything to him other than show him the system once, and the minute we handed the phone to him and let him use it, it was apparent to him immediately what the gains would be. be for him from an accessibility point of view. And as soon as he actually got it in, and was using it in production, he's never really come down off that cloud nine. He talks to everybody he meets about it. I was talking to him the other day, and he said he feels that it saves him about 5 hours a day.
So what kind of equipment did he take with him when he was traveling, and what's that like now?
Before, when he traveled, he would carry, you know, a laptop, a device that is kind of like a PDA for somebody who's blind that has braille output and speech output, and a cell phone. And now, actually right now, he's in Australia, and all he took with him was a cell phone.
Wow. That's great. And so you talked a bit about your IT staff benefits. Can you tell us a little bit about your infrastructure? You know, how many users you have? What kind of infrastructure do you have that is now being supported by the Unified right. Communications?
We have 1,100 staff across the country, dispersed everywhere from Whitehorse to St. John's, Newfoundland. Offices of varying sizes, from a fairly large headquarters here in Toronto of about 350 staff down to home offices and staff of two or three people in some of the smaller, more remote areas of Canada. And it's an enterprise solution for us. I mean, we have always been heavy email users because fax communications never really worked for us because it wasn't accessible until fairly recently. So we've always been, we do about 1 million email transactions a day. We work with all other organizations for the blind in the world. Our past president of CNIB was also president of the World Blind Union, and the World Blind Union offices are actually headquartered in our offices. So we're working at all times with all the other organizations for the blind, of and for the blind, as well as all of the alternate format libraries around the world. So we're a very email-centric organization.
Okay. And Tony, what kind of things have you seen with your experiences with various companies that are using Unified Communications?
We see three sort of value pillars that keep coming up over and over again. The short-term one, which I think is the one that Vicky was really referring to, was maybe best described as personal productivity. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, becomes important, though in some environments that's sort of difficult to business case justify, right? Is it fine, you've got 10 more minutes a day, maybe you just have a longer cup of coffee. But certainly having the anytime, anywhere connectivity, any device, and some messaging and those capabilities, I think, are very, very key. For my own environment, you know, my business card, and I'm from Ottawa, has only one phone number on it, and if you like, the network finds me wherever I am on the appropriate device and so on, and that's very useful personally. But one of our customers is Shell, one of our joint customers is Shell, and what they point out, in fact, is that personal productivity is very tightly coupled to employee satisfaction, particularly for Newton-style employees. These are the millennials, the people that have grown up with instant messaging presence and most recently YouTube and so on. And when they walk into recruitment office, they want to see the kind of environment that they're very comfortable with. And so Shell was certainly looking at their future employees and how that might work.
Yeah, they've come to kind of expect that always-on, always-available technology because they have it in their home life. And
that's
they,
right.
You know, so why not have
so
it?
So they're transferring it into their business life. The second of the value pillars is the whole area of rich collaboration. And so whether you're serving your customers, your clients, or your patients, or whether you're building a product, or whether you're solving a problem or a business issue, right, it really comes down to how quickly can you get the people together to actually solve the problems. Most of us, knowledge workers certainly, are paid for the knowledge we have in our heads and the knowledge that's in other people's heads so that we can actually make decisions. And if all the knowledge was in our head, then that'd be simple. But the fact is that it's distributed. So the capabilities, and of course that goes from easily escalating from just a simple instant message to a full video conference, if that's what's within the way you're going to solve the problem. And then the third area is what I, let me call it maybe business acceleration. And this is around basically integrating some of these capabilities going forward into the applications themselves. This can be done in two ways. One is if you're spending most of your time in, let's say, an insurance policy application, then you could have presence and instant messaging and so on directly available from within that application that you use every day. Because many of us aren't knowledge workers. Many are just what I call information workers. They just spend their time within a very small number of applications. They're not general email people. They really have a very functional job, which is approve policies or whatever. And so we have an example of a customer that we're working in Florida. It's a hospital. And what they had was an average patient discharge time of 5 p.m. And they've pointed out, basically, if we ran a hotel this way, we'd be out of business. And why was it 5 p.m.? Well, the patient knew he could go home, he or she. The nurse, the local nurse knew, but it was a matter of getting authorization from the doctors involved and so on. And those doctors are traveling everywhere. On top of that, they found that if they could advance it to 4 o'clock, they'd save about $2 million every year in various direct and indirect costs and so on. So this is a perfect example of how unified communications, once we integrated into these applications, could actually solve a real business problem, in this case, getting those patients home more quickly and more economically.
So the doctor signs off and the patient goes home and everyone's happy and the hospital saves money.
That's right. That's right.
Before we talk about deploying unified communication solutions, Tony, can we quickly discuss the technology that's out there right now?
Sure. In terms of the Innovative Communication Alliance, what we've deployed to date, in fact, is largely our IP telephony system, the rich set of clients it has, rich set of interoperability capabilities it has, and integrating that with the LCS and now OCS. That'll be available later on this year. And in fact, we're in final test with the Office Communication Server. Second area, which would be of direct interest to CNIB or those kind of customers, is direct software interaction with the Exchange Unified Messaging. So in fact, it's a software-only, a very integrated interface between our IP telephony PBX as well as the Exchange. The third area is in our Nortel Multimedia Conferencing, which is a reservationless conference system supporting ubiquitous access. The current model within OCS is that OCS can call out to people to bring them into a conference, or from a desktop you can do that, but if you're in a cell phone and want to dial into a conference bridge, you actually can't do that. And in fact, we're now fourth generation of multimedia conferencing capabilities that we have. So we've integrated that so that, in fact, with all the different kinds of conferencing, this really completes the offer from Nortel and Microsoft in terms of conferencing capabilities. And the final one, which is a little bit different, is LG Nortel. So LG is a company that many people are familiar with. We have a joint venture with them. And together with Microsoft, we've developed a Office Communicator phone. This is a desktop phone which runs a Windows Mobile operating system and runs a subset of the Office Communicator client and so on. So it's a desktop phone, but it's a different style of experience for the users.
So what kind of people do you see using that type of phone?
I think that is still to play out in terms of it's certainly people with the PCs not normally at their desk, mm-hmm. right? So that's part of it. Certainly more than just having the red phone on the wall. You certainly wouldn't use such a device. But it'll be very interesting to see whether the information workers, service workers, and so on, how that'll fit in. So it's a little bit of a joint experiment, but it is a different experience, and we believe that'll be successful as well.
So Tony, how easy is it for customers to migrate from their old PBX systems?
Well, the philosophy, certainly if you have a Nortel PBX, is that, and we've had this philosophy for many years, we actually call it Evergreen, and it's the whole intention that you can actually enhance it, you can add IP telephony, you can add IP phones, and so on. And so we followed that, but following a very strict sort of software approach to this, so we didn't need any external boxes. What the customer then has to do is IP enable his Meridian to something we call a CS1000. Then we provide that a software-driven interface directly into OCS. Again, here I'm talking both or OCS or into unified messaging. And part of the objective is that when you do that, we want to maintain the reliability people expect from a telephony system. So we have redundancy capabilities built into that interface. Basically, that's the path. So it's actually fairly straightforward. You can continue to use your digital telephones or you can, in fact, use your IP phones if that's what you have. I think CNIB has an interesting situation because they were looking at Exchange. They have some Meridian, maybe some other environments as well. But
I was going to ask Vicky, is he telling the truth? What was your experience?
Yes, he's telling the truth. I mean, that was the thing for us. We looked at this, we thought, okay, now what is this really going to cost us other than above and beyond software? But in actual fact, we didn't do anything to our PBX. We have a Nortel PBX, and we left it as is. We added a small gateway because we're doing the unified messaging piece, and it was early days when we did it. And it works. It works really, really well. From the customer experience, people dialing into our phone system, they still get the same IVR, automated attendant, that they always did before. They have the ability to zero out to the operator. If they leave voicemail, it was not apparent to anybody at all that we'd made any changes at all. It's just apparent on the back end for us that it's a much more manageable system.
Now, when you move to full unified communications, mm-hmm. what we're finding is that the degree of integration we provide really uses Office Communicator to its maximum.
Right.
Some of the other vendors actually interoperate and, in fact, require two soft mm-hmm. clients if you have a laptop going right. externally to be able to make the voice calls, for example, into the public network versus to another PC and so on. So we have a more integrated solution. It depends on the customer mm-hmm. whether that's important to them or not.
We'll be talking to you next year.
Now, just as from a vendor perspective, we also have a very interesting situation with Shell. Shell, in fact, was not predominantly a Nortel voice customer. They had a lot of other PBXs around the world. They had some Nortel, I think, in Texas. And so the approach that they had is to significantly cap their investment in their non-Nortel PBXs, centralized in three regional data centers, in fact, the unified communication deployment. So it would be OCS plus our PPBX as a way of then rolling out the office unified communications across their entire network. So it's an interesting model in that case, not building on a Nortel voice network.
So that's great. So, you know, what I'm hearing is that you don't necessarily need to rip everything out and you can build on what you have a lot of cases. What other kind of misconceptions are there around deploying unified communications technology?
Well, I think to just build on that whole theme around cost, people have this conception that a voice over IP or unified communications deployment can be quite tremendously expensive, both in terms of the hardware costs as well as the management costs. And so, I mean, one thing to think about is in Vicky's case, they already had IP phones. There are organizations that don't have to invest in IP phones if they don't already have them, which is 40 to 45% of the cost of a voice over IP solution. And so that's a huge cost savings right up front. And another thing that Vicky touched on a bit earlier, which was great, was this whole notion of having her traditional kind of infrastructure or data staff have to take over this deployment, and they had that existing skill set. So we can easily see what the cost implications are around that as well. So I think cost is probably the biggest misconception.
And just one point of clarification. In our case, we have a mix of standard digital phones and IP phones. So we have some IP phones out in the field, but actually we have a lot of digital phones that we didn't change at all.
Okay.
So again, you're absolutely right. I mean, we didn't change the PBX. We didn't change anybody's phones just to go to unified messaging. We just happened to have some out in the field already, but...
Fantastic. And how has it been? You mentioned a bit about training. So there's misconceptions that it's costly, that it's you have to train people, the users right. and the IT staff.
You know, it's so intuitive. If you're used to doing email, which, you know, 99.9% of people are these days, you can use unified messaging. What we did was, to be on the safe side, we would deploy 100 or so people per night. We'd flip them over, send them an email with their PIN number and some documentation attached, and offer the next afternoon what we literally called optional training. Only people that really showed up for that training were people saying, I need an extension cord for my headset for my computer. That was pretty much it. Most people never touch the documentation. It's such an easy system to use. You just kind of walk, listen your way through it, experiment, and away you go. We manage the service desk for the entire country. When something goes wrong, the phones start to ring off the wall. I think in total we have maybe 10 incidents in our ticketing system for unified messaging questions. That's it.
Wow. What really impressed me, Vicky, was when you told me that you did all 1,100 users in what, overnight or four nights?
We did the upgraded Exchange 2007 in four evenings just to, you know, allow ourselves time and to make sure. But the majority of people didn't even know it had happened. We did some of them during the day at the end because it had no impact to them at all.
Okay. So just in conclusion, how about everyone gives one tip for IT professionals and IT managers that are out there that are thinking about deploying unified communications?
Well, I think first and foremost, we want IT professionals to think about fostering a future-ready platform and ensuring that they build a platform that can evolve as quickly as innovations come to market.
Okay. Vicky, how about you with your experiences having deployed this already?
Keep it simple. Don't make the deployment seem bigger than it is. I think originally when we thought about it, we were going to do a big event. We decided not to. We sent out some documentation and a PIN number and let people go. And you know what? That way it doesn't intimidate people at all. They just went with it. It was great. So yeah, don't overdo it. Keep it simple.
Fantastic. And Tony, any final words?
Well, I think maybe I'll just go back to Steve Ballmer's comment. You know, it's everything and it's nothing, and you just got to see it. And I think you've got to show people, because I think then they'll understand how they can apply it in their own jobs.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for coming today. You've been excellent guests.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope what you've heard today inspires you to look at how unified communication technology can help your business. Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Join us again next month for a look at business intelligence technology. Thanks for listening.